Well, if you wouldn't mind having open in front of you your little handout that you were given on arriving here. It's got the passage that we're going to be focusing on here this afternoon at the top of the left-hand side. But let me pray and ask God to help us as we look at his words together, and then we'll take it from there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful day. Thank you for the sun that shines. Thank you for all that you've given us. And we pray now that as we spend the next few moments focusing upon your word, that you would give us understanding, that you'd open our eyes and our hearts to your word, to receive your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Helen Keller was 19 months old when she contracted an illness that left her blind, deaf, and dumb. When she was just 6 years old, she began learning to speak by pressing her fingers onto her throat so she could hear the vibrations. She learned to read and write in Braille and eventually graduated from an American university. Amazingly, she went on to found the Helen Keller Home for Blind Children, and she even toured the world giving lectures. Apparently, she was once asked this question: can you think of anything worse than being blind? She replied, yes, to be able to see and have no vision. Today, the second of our three explosive questions is this: what is your ambition in this life? I want to suggest to you that according to the Bible, according to Jesus, it is possible to have clear vision and yet also to lack a truly worthwhile ambition in this life. Last week, I suggested it was possible, if you're here, to have lots of ambition and to be a great success in the eyes of the world and yet be a complete failure in the eyes of God. Someone once asked this question: what is the chief and highest end of men and women? What is the chief and highest end of men and women? The answer that is given is based on the Bible, and it is this: a man and woman's chief and highest end is to glorify God and to fully to enjoy him, i.e. God, forever. True security, I suggested last week, is not found in great wealth or financial security, but rather in knowing God, being known by God, and in enjoying your relationship with him both now and for all eternity. Well, this second question in our series is very much related to the first one we asked last week. Of course, your ambition in life is very much tied up with your vision for yourself and or what it means to be successful or to be secure. And throughout the passage we're going to be tackling over this series, that is Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24, Jesus sets before us two alternatives. In verses 19 to 21 of Matthew 6, he says, you and I can either put our security in earthly things that will not last or in heavenly things that will. In verse 24 of Matthew 6, he says you can either serve God or money, but you cannot serve both. In our passage today, i.e. verses 22 and 23, I think Jesus is saying that either your ambition in this life will be filled with light or darkness. Look at verse 22 with me. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And the first thing I want you to note is a striking metaphor. A striking metaphor. In these verses, Jesus uses a metaphor. A metaphor is basically a striking comparison between two things that would be ridiculous if you took it literally. In verses 22 and 23, Jesus compares or likens my life and your life to a dark room with a lamp in it. You and I are to imagine that our lives are like a pitch black room that has this one source of light shining out into that darkness. If the lamp in that room is in good working order, verse 22, then the whole room obviously will be filled with its light. But if, on the other hand, the lamp is bad for whatever reason, verse 23, that room is going to be full of darkness, isn't it? If the one source of light in an otherwise pitch-black room is darkness itself, then verse 23, will the darkness in that room not be great? Well, of course, the answer is yes, of course it will. Verse 23, if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Well, in a similar way, Jesus is saying our eyes are like windows that allow light into an otherwise dark, our otherwise dark bodies. Our bodies would be full of darkness, but for our eyes that act as windows that let in light. In other words, for you and I to have lives full of light, our eyes or vision needs to be good, needs to be healthy. Since our bodies find direction in life, for good or for bad, in healthy or unhealthy ways, through the light or the vision given to us by our eyes. Hence, verse 22 begins with these words, the eye is the lamp of the body. So can you see that the emphasis in verses 22 and 23 is placed upon the eyes, the lamp of our bodies, being either healthy or unhealthy? Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now, in verses 19 to 21 of Matthew 6, Jesus has been concerned about your heart attitude and my heart attitude to the assets, the wealth, and the material things that we own. You see, in and of themselves, many things in this life are neither good nor bad. A knife, for example, is a neutral object. Your use of it, whether your use of it is healthy or not, very much depends on whether it's being wielded by Jamie Oliver on one of his cooking programs or by a hooligan looking for trouble at the UEFA Euro 2012 European Championships. I saw a poster some months ago, actually it was when I was living in South Africa, it was advertising the Nokia N64, and the caption next to the phone read as follows: it's not just a cell phone, it's who you are. It's not just a cell phone, it's who you are. No, it's just a cell phone. A person is not defined by the things they do or don't have. But of course, the advertisers of such things want you and I to think that our ambition in this life needs to be, I need that phone. They want to plant in our minds a vision that will make them rich. They want you to think, if I can afford that phone, well, I must really be important. Driving that car, working for that company, living in that neighborhood, marrying that particular person, says to those around me that I'm successful. It's interesting that in the Bible, the words I and heart are pretty much interchangeable. For example, the Bible poet, in praying to God, records these words for us: incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. Do you see what the writer is doing? He's using the words heart and eyes as if they were the same thing. In other words, the spiritually blind person often is the person who cannot see or understand with the heart. In the Old Testament book of Proverbs, a father gives his son some advice about how to avoid the snare of the prostitute or the sexually promiscuous wife with these words: my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. According to the Bible, the issues of this life proceed out from the heart. That is, our desires, longings, plans, decisions, ambition, or vision for a better life flows out from our hearts. Here in verses 22 and 23 of Matthew 6, Jesus is saying the same thing, but this time he uses a metaphor about the eye instead of the heart to explain himself. Just as the heart directs the whole of a person's life, so the eyes affect the whole body. The eyes affect the whole direction or course of a person's life. Their ambition in life, if you like, or their vision concerning where they want to go in life. Your life, my life, can and will be filled with either darkness or with light, depending on whether our eyes, our vision, or our ambition is healthy or bad. So the question is, how are your eyes? Healthy or unhealthy? Good or not so good? So the question then becomes, what does it mean to have healthy or bad eyes? Well, the word healthy in verse 22, although it can mean sound or good, really means something more like singleness of purpose or undivided loyalty. You see, the good-eyed person then is the person who with undivided loyalty or singleness of purpose is fixed or focused upon God because of the Lord Jesus Christ and all he has done. Such a person's life will be filled with light because they will be motivated in all they do by a love for Jesus, and so they will have godly ambitions. It's not wrong to have ambition. Conversely, the person with bad eyes will have their eyes fixed or focused mainly upon worldly or earthly ambitions. Their vision for a better life will be limited to this world only. They may deceive themselves into thinking they have lives full of light here and now, but one day the darkness in them will be seen for what it truly is. As they stand in front of the judgment seat of God to give an account for their poor spiritual vision and worldly ambition that left them with no time for relationship with God, he will turn and say to them some words recorded for us in a story Jesus told in Luke 12. He will say, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, well, whose will they be?" There is an Italian proverb that captures very well what many people who are driven by selfish ambition and worldly vision fail to understand, much like the fool in that story Jesus told in Luke 12, and it's this: the last coat a man wears has no pockets in it. The last coat a man wears has no pockets in it. The reason being, of course, that none of us can take any of the stuff we've accumulated in this life with us when we die. Hence, we have no need of pockets. And anyway, how much can you fit in one or two small pockets? A vicar was asked at a funeral, "How much did she leave, vicar?" He replied, "She left everything. They always do." Your vision or ambition in life may be to have a high standard of living that is full of all sorts of material things. But can I say, not only can't you take any of those things with you, but people often with high standards of living have very poor quality of life. They have every time-saving gadget on the market and yet are always complaining that there aren't enough hours in the day. You know that feeling? They have sophisticated means of communicating with people on the other side of the world, whether through Skype, email, Twitter, or conference calling, but they cannot find the time to communicate adequately with the ones they love. They have second homes, but not enough hours in which to enjoy their first ones. Apparently, one of the fastest growing areas for busy executives is companies providing them with concierge services or lifestyle managers. These are people who will basically organize your personal life for you, apparently. They will do anything from arranging your children's birthday parties to writing a greeting card with reads, "Sorry, I can't be there to tuck you in tonight." You can even get a massage or dental treatment without leaving your workstation, apparently. I recently read of a businessman who owned a Mediterranean villa with a huge swimming pool and rooms big enough to get lost in. Although he was only 40 years of age, younger than me, hope you've turned your phones off. His fortune included he created a multi-million pound empire, which included property, publishing, and franchising. He had a life-changing experience, which involved becoming seriously ill, and suddenly, for the first time in his life, he had to face up to the fact that he was not invulnerable in his personal life like in his business life. Being a great businessman could not protect him from death. After going through this experience, he said this: "What I really crave now is not success. I have that. I know it may sound trite, but I want to make a difference." See, some people have a clear vision of what they want to become in life. They chase their dreams and fulfill their ambitions, only to find that life at the top is not only lonely, but unsatisfying. One internationally known speaker and business speaker on business and family issues put it this way: "I meet men and women every day, successful men and women, who have often achieved beyond their wildest dreams. Yet, they would give all they possess if only they could change the past. So what is their great regret? Is it that they could have been more effective salespeople, received wider acclaim for their academic papers, or pushed harder to get that promotion? Rarely. No, the regret is almost always in the area of relationships." Jesus says such people have got their ambitions all wrong. Vincent Foster was one of the most powerful lawyers in the world. He was deputy counsel to former US President Bill Clinton. One day he gave a lecture to an auditorium packed full of students, desperate each to hear what this man had to say, and they all wanted to emulate him. Part of his speech included the following: "3 weeks ago, Lisa and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. She has been my editor, my jury consultant, and my best friend. I wish for all of you a Lisa. Balance wisely," he went on to say, "your professional life and your family life. God only allows us so many opportunities with our children to read a story, go fishing, play catch, and say our prayers together. Try not to miss one of them. The office can wait." 6 weeks later, he was dead. The verdict of all five investigations: suicide. That is what the pressure can be like having reached the top of your profession. Which reminds me of a quote from Hollywood actor Jim Carrey, who said this: "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer." Some people's ambitions are such that they are in danger of ruining all their relationships, but more importantly, they're in danger of missing out on the most important relationship of all: knowing God and being known by God, and being able to enjoy relationship with Him both now and in eternity. They're so busy chasing their dreams that they have no time to surrender their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves them and came into the world to die for them, to make relationship with God possible for them. They have allowed the light inside to go out and have, verse 23, become engulfed by the darkness. And many of them don't even know it. By contrast, the person who has embraced Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior is the person who is eager to store up for themselves treasure in heaven. Such a person will have good spiritual eyesight. They will have vision that is full of light because they will have godly ambitions and a godly or spiritual vision in terms of where they want to go in life and what's most important in life. But what will that look like in practice? Well, let me give you one example. John Laing was a man who was earning a good salary from the family construction business. He bought a modest-looking home and he lived in it for the rest of his life. He worked out that he could provide comfortably for his family on a third of his income. So he saved half of what was left and gave the rest away to Christians who told other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. After a while, he gave all he earned away because his savings alone were enough to live on. In 1979, when he died, his personal fortune amounted to only a few pounds. Yet, to this day, The money he left in his trust fund is being used to support those who tell others about Jesus all over the world. That is what the Bible would call true vision. That is the kind of ambition those who belong to God's kingdom should have, says Jesus. John Lang had the vision and ambition to invest in that which were lost into all eternity. Instead of trying to take all his money with him, he invested it here and now in heaven, there and then. I reckon he's going to get a great return on his money. Because his life, verse 22, was full of light. A great Christian man once said this: he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So can I ask you again, what is your ambition in this life? Do you have the vision to be a true success in this world? Or are you just going with the crowd here in Canary Wharf each week while hoping not to be disappointed when and if you eventually reach the top? Whatever that may mean for you. Has your vision and ambition become flooded with darkness? Has your spiritual vision dimmed and worldly ambition taken over? If you were to ask yourself the question, what is my ambition in this life? If your ambitions revolve around you not being able to take your eyes off the material things of this world because you have come to believe in your heart that they are where your satisfaction or security lies, then ask yourself this question: how is my heart doing? What has happened to my spiritual vision? Be careful that you're not allowing yourself to become engulfed by the darkness. But perhaps you're not a Christian here this afternoon. Well, I want to say to you, it would be a shame, wouldn't it, if you worked so hard to get to the top only to feel empty inside and unsatisfied when you get there, with all your relationships in tatters. One, maybe two divorces, children who are alienated from you, and who knows what else. If you want a vision or ambition that offers significance, then you need to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with him. I'd be delighted to chat with you about that afterwards if you'd like to. Let's bow our heads as we pray together. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Heavenly Father, my prayer for each one of us here is that our lives will be full of light. And that light would guide our ambitions in this life. My prayer for anyone here who perhaps is unsure where they stand with you, that you'd help them to understand what it means to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to turn from all their unhealthy ambitions and to turn to Jesus and trust him for their future. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.